I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
These thoughts crept into my mind and spoiled me.
I think we might have fucked up.
Shoot your arrow at her. Yeehaw! Let's go!
Get back inside! Go inside!
You better get out here!
Thought you could get away, did you?
Like a nightmare mist.
Bring it on, witch!
I want him to lie.
She's got me in her claws, Doran.
The entire sky is red.
Jack, I need you to do this.
Fucking 20! 20!
Nice!
Oh my god, Jack Natural Page!
20.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 44, The Midnight Carnival, 12 a.m.
MVP this week is 42 is the answer, who recently joined the Discord and is working through our backlog. They listened to the podcast on the way to work and said it makes the drive so much better. Thanks, 42 is the answer.
Yeah, thanks. Transparent Cast is a brand new podcast featuring our incredible friend Ash, a trans person, and their parent Diane. Transparent, get it?
Ah!
Each episode starts with a listener-asked question and evolves into an educational advice show about gender and identity in the modern world. You can listen anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, shall we do this?
Yeah, let's play some D&D!
Woo!
Have you really been getting away with this for so long?
Quiet!
Don't...
I knew something was wrong.
Okay, Miranda, I'm going. I'm moving. I'm going.
It's nearly midnight, and a cold wind catches the chains that hang from the rooftops of Slatefell, making them clank and jingle eerily. Past the frosted window panes of a lovely home, a fireplace casts a cozy glow around a comfortable sitting room decorated with mismatched furniture, family portraits, and a warm rug. Seated in an armchair in front of the fire, a slender older woman with cropped white hair sits with a blanket over her lap and legs watching the fire. Opposite her, Captain Bebe stands in a casual waistcoat, gesturing with the stem of his pipe and talking animatedly.
And that's how I really began to get a feel for the position. You see, being captain of the defense has only really became a dangerous job in the past little while. My forefathers used to tell stories of goblin raids like they were great battles, were the fest tales. And have you even fought a goblin? I mean... They're nothing to sneeze at, I guess, but not really like a giant. I guarantee you, they never even dreamed of the kinds of trouble we see these days here in Slateville. Of course, I guarantee you that you are safe here within their within our walls for as long as you choose to stay. Few of my soldiers asked if they might try to bring something by to show you their appreciation after second watch. Like, wine and grog and such.
Celeno nods at the captain and then picks up the cup of wine from a table at her elbow, lifting it slightly towards him in a casual toast.
With such hospitality, how could I turn in early? It's been quite some time since I had the luxury of resting my bones in a home as comfortable and welcoming as this one. You are the consummate host, and your lovely wife as well. I will have to thank her again for the meal once she's roused tomorrow morning. I'm sure she'll be feeling much better with a good night's sleep. Such a strange and sudden illness. Tell me, how did you two fall in love? Surely there must have been so many women trying to catch your attentions. I do enjoy a good love story.
And Bebe drops down heavily into the armchair beside her, a dreamy look on his face.
Truth be told, there's only ever really her. She always felt like wild to me, like untamable. Even after all our 15 years together, she...
A knock interrupts Bebe's wistfulness.
Did you hear that? I think that was the door. Think someone's at the door. That'll be the soldiers, for sure. Just a second.
He excuses himself to attend the knock, and Selena's gaze drifts back to the fire, staring lazily into its depths. Though her face is lit by the flames, no warmth is reflected in her eyes. Muffled sounds from the front door echo through the house towards the living room. Some raised voices. Then the returning footsteps of Bebe and his company.
No, it wasn't them. But I think you'll be interested in what it is. What it really is. Salami. Seleno. Apparently, there's some trouble brewing.
Following closely behind Captain Bebe, Veranda walks in, pushing Jack Page.
Get in here, Jack Page of Waterdeep.
Oh, yeah.
The wizard's hands are bound with rope, a deep bruise over his eye, and a nosebleed streaks all down his mouth and front. Bebe settles against the near wall with a hand on his sword. The halfling shakes her black hair off her shoulders with an indignant huff.
But you gotta...
Quiet, you. Veranda. Auntie, I need to speak with you. Alone.
Yes. Captain, would you leave us?
Don't fall for it, baby. She's a witch. She's here to destroy your town.
Quiet.
Yeah, I'll go find where the kitchen is. I think I need a nail.
Celino unfolds herself from her perch in the armchair and looms over you, Jack. As Bebe leaves the room, her menace is palpable.
What is it, my child?
Veranda begins to pace around the room, troubled, throwing glances at Jack, bound, and at her aunt. Auntie, I came across these adventurers a few days ago, and I've been traveling with them. And they spoiled my mind. As you know, I've always had problems with the lifestyle that you've had for me, with your dreams that I might join you, with the work you had me do, but these thoughts crept into my mind and spoiled me. After they saw you follow me to Slateville, they decided that they wanted to destroy you, and I helped them. We laid a trap for my mother, and they killed her in a barn, in town. And then we did the same for Alo in the woods, but I knew something was wrong. And I captured the wizard. I've taken his orb. He's useless now. There are three others. I left them just outside the wall. They think that I'm bringing you to them. But we have to make another plan. We have to escape. What should we do? Sweet, sweet child. And Celeno reaches out and touches Veranda's face. I understand your confusion, child. I'd long known that my sisters were plotting against me, as often happens when there is some rivalry. But, child, you must understand, this is the order of things and the way it must be. You know that occasionally I would move your hand in certain ways, and perhaps this is an enacting of that same power. We can turn this situation to our advantage, I am confident.
Celeno, you don't have long left for this world. How many more like them are there? How many more like Veranda here? Poor changelings stolen from their cribs, left with God knows what else there. How long do you think you can keep doing this?
I'll show you, boy. Wait and see. Every town across this whole land has been touched by this hand. Every village has a child waiting to become just like me.
Not if they never wake up. If you're not there to wake them up, they'll just live their whole lives as people. They don't need to become monsters like you. I won't let that happen.
Grand words from a man tied up.
Maybe it's not going to be us that stops you, but somewhere along the line, your time's run out. I don't care how old you are. I recognize you for what you are, some creature from beyond. How much longer do you think you'll get away with this, Celeno?
I'm coming back in with my guards now.
Bebe returns again with two soldiers clad head to toe in leather armor and deeply cowled in heavy winter cloaks against the weather. One of the soldiers is holding a dusty bottle of wine. The other proffers an iced cake on a tray. They seem to take the temperature of the room and silently place their gifts down on a side table, standing meekly to one side.
Don't fall for it, Bebe! Don't!
Guards, take his arms!
And Bebe moves forward. As the guards move forward and grab you roughly by the arms, Jack, you smell the familiar scent of Red's breath on your left side and the concerningly damp hands of Mari on your right.
Red, dressed as one of the guards, grabs one of Jack's arms, squeezing it tightly.
She grabs Jack's other arm, but he can feel that it's like very damp coming through the glove.
As the soldiers take Jack's arms, Bebe moves forward and in a heavy blow reels his arm back and hits Jack square across the face. However, Bebe's body obscures where Jack is sitting from Celeno. As Captain Bebe's fist lashes towards Jack's face, the fist passes straight through Jack's head. Doran, being a small creature, has shorter arms than Captain Bebe does, and his real fist doesn't make it anywhere close to Jack's face.
How many more are like Veranda? How many more children have you left out there, ready to spring on their communities, devour their children? You witch!
Quiet, you! Before I land another punch upon your face right now! Huh!
Yeah, Mari just pinches him just to, like, make sure that he reacts.
And Red walks forward and just bangs Jack on the back of the head as well.
See,
realizing this is his moment to get away with it.
Seizing his opportunity.
Yeah. He steps back.
Oh,
and he winks back at Mari.
Yeah, Mari's just standing there and she just shrugs.
Quiet, you! Piece of garbage. I suppose I'll leave him with you, Celeno, And just listen here. When you're done with him, I want him alive because I'm going to string him up at the gallows? At the gallows.
Red looks over at Veranda and gives her the knowing look.
Veranda pushes Jack roughly forward to his knees and slides the wand into his hand at the same time.
Jack feels Dazan's wand and the ropes removed, and he turns to Veranda and says, "Is there any last words you'd like to say to this witch?"
Veranda looks Celeno dead in the eyes and says, "I'll never forgive you." Everybody roll for initiative. All right, Red, what'd you get?
Red got a 16.
Doran.
7.
Nice. Jack.
24.
Nice.
Mari.
10.
All right, folks. Jack, you are top of the order.
Kick her ass, Jack.
Jack nods at Veranda and stands up, pulling the rest of the rope off his wrists and bringing his wand out in front of him. And he points it at Celeno and just says, "This is over." Jack waves his wand, and with a command, these temporary little sprites summoned from another world, filled with every bit of alchemical magic he can fill them with, start to tear into, and where their teeth grab, just volts of electricity start coursing through her body for a total of 78 damage.
Wow.
Bolts of fairy electricity tear at this old woman's body, and she crumples to the floor. She manages to croak out, "What have you done?" before she shudders out a gasping breath and lies still. Red, it's your turn.
Red flips open his helm. I kind of imagine him wearing one of those like cliche medieval helmets that like slide up and you see his furry face. And he's like, "What the hell just happened? Lady?" And he looks towards Jack. He's like, "She was the other witch, right? Veranda? Anybody? Jack?"
"I don't know.
Are you the bad guy?"
I don't understand.
"Did she say anything evil to you when we left the room?"
"Oh, yeah."
Yeah, she's clearly evil."
"I can't believe it." And he kicks the body.
Your foot passes through her body.
"She's not here. She's gone." And Red steps forward into the body.
As your legs pass into and through her form, this illusion disappears.
Oh, what the hell is going on?
Shit.
Red looks out the window to see if he can see anything.
Red, the sky above Slatefell glows a dusty red color. The moon looks like it's hanging in a deep pool of blood.
Uh-oh, guys. I think we might have fucked up.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't that color when we came in.
Red pulls off his bow, drops the helm, and turns to the others and says, "This is about to get real." And he runs outside into the street.
Celeno is not dead. She's standing in the dimness of the distant lantern light, in the red gleam from the sky, poker straight with her arms flung out to either side. Her hair is so long now, streaming out behind her in this white mane, undulating like it's serpents. And other people are moving into the town square too, villagers and soldiers gawking up at the sky in awe and horror. And meanwhile, a thin red mist is crawling through the air towards her. A nearby villager is lifted into the air, and he starts to just contort in pain as his nightclothes stain through with blood in patches, concentrating on his torso, and then the blood just starts to seep away from his body through the night air towards the body of the witch.
Oh my god. Oh my god. As a bonus action, Red is going to cast Hunter's Mark.
Great.
And Red fires at her.
Roll to hit.
That's 24 to hit.
Yeah, you hit.
Nice. Doing 24 damage.
Hey.
Excellent.
And Red will attack again.
Okie doke.
14 to hit.
Mm-mm.
Damn. The second arrow goes wide, and Red again calls to his friends, "You better get out here!" And Red runs up against the side of a building, just trying to get some cover from where she is in town.
Mari, it's your turn.
Mari looks at the window and she sees that horrible thing happen to that guy where his blood is pulled out of him. And she leans out and she screams, "Get back inside! Go inside!" at these people. I don't know if any of them actually listen or if they're being like magically drawn to her. She pulls off the helmet and the cowl that's been hiding her, and she goes to cast Guiding Bolt.
Brilliant.
19 to hit?
You do.
Oh, 25 radiant damage.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Hey.
Well done.
I'll join Red over there out of sight.
Doran, it's your turn.
Doran dashes out the door towards her, and on his way, still disguised as Bebe, he yells, "Apprehend that woman!" Being careful not to call her a witch, because that might just shove fear into people.
Because when she's floating in the sky, drawing blood from
yeah,
people...
We don't want to swoop them any further. They've had a rough day.
The entire sky is red.
Doran drops to one knee, and his disguise dissolves, and he says, "I'm tired of looking like that, Bebe. It's time for me to get into action here." And he pulls his crossbow off of his back, and he lines it up and tries to take a shot. With an 11 to hit?
No, I'm sorry.
And the bolt goes wide.
She snatches the bolt out of the air. Ooh. And just breaks it in her hand and throws it to the side.
Damn it. I'm going to use my combat superiority, and I'll turn to Red and say, "Red, shoot your arrow at her."
"All right, buddy."
17 to hit?
Yes.
Ooh.
Hey.
21 damage.
Nice. Jack, it's your turn.
Jack steps up to the window, pulls out his wand, and aims it back up at this witch across the way by the fountain, and flings a firebolt at her, doing his best to light her up.
Heroically staying inside.
Heroically staying inside. 12 likely misses it, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
But then he is going to make his way towards the door, ready to spring into the square on his next turn, but still just slightly out of sight.
Excellent.
This is gonna be bad. Hold on, Mari.
I hope you got something good up your sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
She's just watching blood be sucked through the air like a nightmare mist.
Suddenly, underfoot, Red, Mari, and Jack, these squirming black tentacles erupt out of the ground underfoot and start grasping at you, leaving red welts where the suckers contact your skin.
Ow.
Red, Mari, and Jack, all three of you are caught up in these terrible, writhing arms.
Ugh. Ugh.
She claws out at a villager and just dissects him.
Oh my god.
Yeah, from chin to abdomen, she slits this man in half, basically, and all of his insides spill out all over the place.
Holy shit!
Oh my god!
Whoa!
Impressive. I mean, terrible.
Red, it's your turn. You have to make a dexterity saving throw, please.
Wow. 17.
So you are not injured or restrained by these tentacles, Red.
Whew! Mari, grab onto this.
And Red drags over a barrel to help her steady herself.
Oh.
Red moves just outside of the influenced area and fires an arrow at her. And I'm going to try to banish her. She needs to make me a charisma saving throw.
15?
Ah, it's 15.
Ah, she succeeds.
Damn. And that was my last arrow.
Yeah. Again, she snatches the arrow out.
No, it banishes the guy beside her.
Yeah!
That poor guy who got vivisected.
But hey, honestly, if it saves one person, that would actually be a good thing.
Yeah. I like there's just the one arrow misses Celeno, but it hits the man beside her in the shoulder. He spins on his heel once and then just fucking disappears.
Or how funny would it be too if it was like a melon? Just like a melon just banished to a realm.
The produce realm.
This melon's seen some shit.
Damn it! Red pulls out another arrow and fires. And that's going to hit with a 24.
Mm-hmm.
25 damage.
Excellent. Mari, it's your turn. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Ooh, thank God. 21?
Yeah, you're all right.
Oh, thank God. Thank God I now have my dex is good now. Mm-hmm.
Some squid arms try to wind their way up your legs and you just kick them off.
I'll do guiding bolt again.
Double guiding bolt.
Yeah. Just keep lighting her up.
All right.
Mari reaches up and a shining bolt of light appears in her hand and she casts it towards Celino. And that is a 20 to hit?
Yes.
19 points of damage.
Nice.
Excellent. Well done.
Deuce.
Doran, it's your turn.
All right. Doran is going to dash right up to this witch.
Mm-hmm.
His little body kind of tumbles across the courtyard, and he gets right up next to her, and then he's also going to use his action surge. He uses his two attacks, swinging his axe wildly at her.
Rock and roll.
Oh, you have advantage.
Because of guiding bolt, so you get advantage, Doran.
Hell yeah.
How's a 17?
Hey!
We know that one hits.
Doing
good job, Doran.
16 points of damage with my first swing.
Nice.
Excellent, excellent.
Doran lands a hit and stings her leg a bit. And that's going to be a 27 to hit with another 16 points of damage. And
his
blade of his axe slides through her other leg, shaving a nice slice of flesh off of her shin.
Prosciutto.
Who's up for witch beef?
Even worse than that, Doran, your axe hits her body and bites deeply.
Ooh.
And you fell the witch.
Ah.
Celeno hunches. She drops to her knees, bracing herself with a palm flat against the paving stones. Her sides heave as she pants in labored breaths, and then, just like her sisters, her body begins to change. The illusion of her fine clothes dissolves into tatters. Her long white hair reveals itself to be a nest of wriggling worms. And her skin, most horrible of all, appears as a patchwork of screaming, skinned faces. Eyeless and toothless, but all of them moving as if alive. Her whole body is a chaotic landscape of grimacing fear.
Ugh.
She picks herself back up a foot and a half taller than she was originally and roars at the sky. Jack, it's your turn. Roll a dexterity saving throw.
I don't want to.
You have to, though.
I know.
Is the problem.
Five.
Five.
Yeah. Nice. Lay it on me.
All right, Jack. You take 9 bludgeoning damage, but you are restrained.
Cool.
Ooh.
Which is not great.
So mid-panic attack, because these tentacles are taking him right back to the sewers where like he's being sucked underwater any minute now and shoved full of other awful bugs. Jack disappears in a poof of mist and stands up on his feet 30 feet closer to the witch, only to be confronted with this other awful, writhing, grub-filled form. It's just not good.
She's covered in skinned faces that are moving.
Yeah, the bugs moving under skin kind of vibe is just so not good.
I love this.
Yeah, let's get some warnings on this episode.
Jack's wand only shakes twice as he brings it up again to launch another firebolt towards this witch.
What'd you roll, Jack?
The firebolt goes wide again. Clearly his aim is off from these tentacle monsters, but he sort of doggedly walks forward, trying to sort of get in between people in the market and this witch.
In thick, fat drops, blood begins to rain from the sky. Surfaces that are out in the open are quickly covered in slippery blood. All movement from now on that's in the square is going to be considered difficult terrain, as you could slip and fall if you would be moving any faster. Everything is just starting to accumulate half an inch of blood. Then Celeno turns on you, Doran. Her form is disconcerting, covered in these screaming faces. She reaches out to attack you. That's 28 to hit you. 15 slashing damage. And then she rolled a natural 20.
No.
Yep.
Don't love it.
32 slashing damage, Doran. Then she disappears and reappears directly beside you, Jack. Her worm hair reaches out and grasps you all around your body.
Let me go.
22 to hit you?
Yeah, it will hit.
That's 19 piercing damage.
Oh.
And you are grappled.
Yeah, okay.
You feel these worms sucking your blood out of your body, and you watch as they drink it down into her. Red, it's your turn.
Red is going to cast Sleet Storm. Red reaches into his bag and pulls out the Ice Rune and points it. He says, Sleet Storm! Wherever you cast spells.
Like a fucking Pokemon?
Because he doesn't really know. He doesn't know how to do it. He's just like waiting. And
like, I gave you a book about this.
Shut up, Jack. I'm saving your life.
Mario's just like, that's not how this works.
So along with the raining blood, freezing rain and sleet fall in a 40-foot radius.
Great.
Centered on a point that I chose within my 150-foot range. The area is heavily obscured and exposed flames are doused, so I'm hoping the obscuring helps everybody, the people, and you guys escape. The ground is covered with slick ice, making it difficult terrain. When a creature enters or starts its turn, it has to make a dex save or fall prone, and a creature concentrating on a spell has to do a constitution saving throw against my spell save DC or lose concentration. So when she starts her turn, she has to make a dexterity saving throw or she falls prone, and she needs to concentrate with a DC 15.
Cool.
Frankly, I'm kind of hoping, like, as Red points out, he's kind of hoping all these fucking villagers fall prone. So they just, like, fall out of sight a little bit and, like, become heavily obscured in this mist and sleet storm.
Okay,
know? Okay.
Yeah, she should at least have trouble targeting them, yeah.
Good luck!
Red turns to Mara and he's like, Guiding Bolt again and I can hit her. If you Guiding Bolt, I can hit her.
Mari, it's your turn. The town square is utter chaos right now. Apart from the blood rain that's covered everything, you look like a scene out of Carrie right now. There is this cylinder of ice just pouring down.
Well, I think it freezes all the blood.
Yes.
So, like, all the blood to our skin is now, like, crunchy and, like, hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a ghastly snow cone. Every single thing is covered in this, like, thick crimson. It's almost beautiful, like, in how glittery it is, but it's also absolutely disgusting and terrifying, and everything smells of iron.
And you can't really see anything that's going on in there. So, what do you do?
Mari reaches into her pocket and she pulls out a little jar. And in the jar are three spiders that she scoops out and places on the ground. And she just kisses one of her fingers and puts it on each of the spiders' heads. And as she does that, they start to grow and they turn into giant spiders. They're huge and they're now coated in this thick layer of blood. They are truly nightmarish, but when they look at her, they look fine. They don't look aggressive. They're waiting for her to tell them something. And she says, find the witch and stop her. And to one of them, she says, go get Jack.
Very cool. It's your turn. What happens?
I'm going to send in two of the spiders to go and attack Celeno. I want to see if I can get her to drop Jack.
Great. Spider One moves forward into the sleet storm.
Yes.
And senses this witch. And it is going to attack her?
Yes.
All of these spiders have to make dex saving throws. I mean, they're pretty dexterous.
Yes, I just rolled a 21 on that one.
Nice.
Excellent.
Nice.
Well done.
So that spider's got little skates. A 16, Spider 2.
Yeah, you're good.
My last one only rolled a 11. So that one is slipping and sliding and not doing very well.
The one that's trying to save you, Jack, is prone.
No.
That's okay. So it falls prone, which means it is going to cost half movement to stand up. So you create these two giant spiders that take off into the sleet storm without a problem. The third spider loses its footing and slides down to the ground, its eight legs losing purchase, and then it manages to pull itself up. Mm-hmm. Got half movement left. Spider number one, what does it do?
Okay, so this first spider is going to try to bite Celino. 22 to hit?
Yes.
7 damage, but you have to make a constitution saving throw that you're 100% going to make unless you roll a 1.
Roll a 1. Roll a 1.
It can always happen.
12.
Oh, shit. Oh. Okay, so that's it for spider 1. Spider 2 is going to use the web attack with her. I'm going to see if I can restrain her.
Great.
18.
Hey!
Yeah, you
nice.
Hit.
Nice.
So, target is restrained by webbing.
Excellent. So she's restrained, which means her speed is 0. She's not going to attack.
Yeah.
Final spider.
Can it run over to Jack and be like, get on my back. Let's
what,
go.
What What the hell is happening? There's you guys seeing these other monsters in here? Where did they come from? I think I'm seeing teeth and webs.
Quiet. It's fine.
It's going to run over to behind Jack, and it gestures to Jack and like taps itself on the back. Like, hey, buddy.
Jack can't see it.
Well,
what?
It like he just gets poked by a long arm, but doesn't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's somehow also damp.
What? The sleet storm doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hanging out and it's like, come on, man, I'll help you out.
Great spider turn, Mari. I like to award you inspiration for your freaky, weird spider friends.
God.
So, Doran, unfortunately, because you are in difficult terrain and a sleet storm, you have to make a dexterity saving throw to stay standing.
Which you're going
to
do
with a 14.
Oh, wait, no.
No.
No, that fails.
Oh, no.
Doran, you fall on the ice.
But you get back up.
And you splash in the blood.
Doran, you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just, it's icy and slippery out here, and I can't see anything, and it sounds like there's a bunch of spiders walking around, but that's just my imagination, I imagine.
I love that Doran can just hear spiders. He's like, those are spiders.
I know how they sound like.
And Doran's just going to swing in the direction that...
Kill a villager.
Oh, he kills a villager and a spider.
She's got me in her claws, Doran. Don't hit me, please. But get her.
So there's a number of factors affecting this swing that cancel each other out, which I really like. So you have disadvantage to hit her because you can't see her, but then she's also restrained, so you have advantage to hit her. So you just roll a normal ass. Yeah.
I'm going to use my bonus action to regain 1d10 plus my fighter level.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, good call. Good call.
Jack?
Yep.
Steer clear for a moment.
I'll do my best, but there's leechy faces sucking my blood, and I'm not having a good time.
That's going
to
be a...
Maybe just end it for all of us.
29 to hit.
Oh.
Now a 19 or a 20 for me is a crit.
Yeah. You crit?
I did.
Hey.
Hell yeah.
So it's 29 to
Fuck
hit.
Fuck yeah, it does.
24 points of damage.
I was that you, Jack?
Nope.
Oh, thank God.
Still got all my limbs.
Thank Warden.
23 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
11 more points of damage.
Okay, yeah. Chopping away at this witch covered in blood and sleet and spider webs. Jack, it's your turn.
Huh.
There's a lot of spiders around you.
Well, but it's not only that, because I think I have to see if I fall 9.
Yeah, you fall down.
And out of her grip.
No.
Right? I'm going to try and break this grapple.
All right.
Jack Noodle Arms Page is going to stand up to this witch as he like struggles in her hair and the rain falling down him and his face covered in bruises from his friends and his enemies, and he's gonna try and stare in the direction she's at and just fucking shove. He's shoving with his mind telekinetically, but that's not really taking purchase because I can't see anything, so it's all arms, all pure Waterdavian wizard athletics.
Okay,
don't you have inspiration?
I just got some. I can. Jack, I need you to do this.
Fucking 20! 20!
Nice!
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, Jack Cage.
Jack climbs up out of this lady's arms and like kips up back onto one of these spiders.
Nice.
Yeehaw, let's go.
Oh, you get too excited.
I love this stupid game.
You're not going to get me that
Yeehaw,
way.
Yeehaw, let's go, he says. All right. The witch fails her concentration. The tentacles that are beside you guys disappear.
Yay. Bloop.
She fucking vanishes. That's her turn. None of you see it. Red, what do you do?
Red stops concentration on Sleet Storm, and the entire circle of falling rain and ice disappears in an instant.
All you see is Jack on a spider.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Jack.
Hey.
Where's the witch? I know I hit her.
Where the hell did she go? Doran?
She was right in front of me. But she's not. And there's these massive spiders here. What the hell?
Yeah, Mari did that.
Yeah, don't hurt my spiders.
Oh.
They're nice.
Doran, protect the villagers. I think she's using the villagers to heal. We gotta make sure that they aren't killed.
All right, everybody, back into your homes. Lock the doors. Don't let the witch in.
Everybody, listen to me. Red scabbers up the side of a building. You need to leave this center square as fast as possible. Run to your homes. Run out of here. Please, your lives depend on it. Red is gonna ready his action, and the minute she pops back in, hit her with two arrows.
Mari, what do you do?
She sees Jack, and he's just a mess in every single variation of that word, just in every way. And she reaches up a hand and gently throws this ball of light towards him that lands and just spreads out across him. I'm going to cast Healing Word.
Amazing.
15.
Up to 27.
That's better.
Yes.
And
you're invincible.
The spider with Jack on him, I'm going to get to bring him over towards us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones are just scuttling. They're trying to see if they can find her. Can I, like, pick up people and, like, pull them out of the way? Can I, like, scare off villagers?
You can definitely scare off villagers with your spiders.
Get these people out of here. Cast them away.
Yeah, great. You thin the crowd somewhat with your spider helpers. All right, Doran, what do you do?
I'll defer till after. I mean, there's no witch to hack.
Cool. Blood is just raining down on your faces, soaking your clothes, and everyone just waits in silence for this monster to return. And she does. Directly beside you, Mari, the witch peels herself out of some other dimension, and you see up close for the first time her skin writhing with all of these peeled faces.
Oh my God. Red, get her, please.
Red fires at her from like 2 feet above, from like the roof. He just like point blank fires two arrows directly at her fucking forehead.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna miss with a 3. Come on. A natural 20.
Whoa!
Oh!
Heck yeah.
Daddy's got a brand new... Well, it's funny because I missed the first one, so it kind of bounces.
Yeah, that first one is like stuck in Mari's hair now.
28 damage.
Nice.
Thunk. As I let it loose.
Red, it is now your turn.
Look up here, you witch.
As a bonus action, I'm going to cast Fairy Fire on her. She needs to make a dexterity save.
If only she was still in Sleet Storm.
Have you considered casting
it again?
No.
13.
And she fails.
Does she?
She gets outlined in Fairy Fire, and this and the next attack take advantage. Hey, she-witch! Suck on this. 18 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
30 damage.
Nice.
And I attack again. 22.
Yes, you hit.
20 damage.
Excellent. I assume you're staying where you're at?
Does she look angry at me?
She looks pissed.
Mari, it's your turn.
This is truly a nightmare, but I'm going to Guiding Bolt her straight in the face. It's a 25.
You're great.
Nice.
You did it.
Oh, that is 19 damage.
Mm-hmm.
And for my bonus action... because I do not like standing this close to her and it sucks, I'm casting Misty Step. And I'm moving away from here.
Nice. Well done.
All right, Spider 1 rolled a 14.
Nice. Fail.
So that failed, so it's just gonna run over and then just sort of stand there awkwardly like a kid at a party. Spider 2 rolled a 21.
That hits.
So that's gonna hit. And Spider 3 rolled a 17.
And that hits as well.
Yes.
Okay, so two spider hits.
So total in that, she's taking 15 damage from both those spiders.
Good stuff. Doran, what do you do?
You can't escape me. And he dashes up. Doran, like, sees the witch appear and the spiders start to attack her, and he's reinvigorated, and he dashes across the square and...
Thought you could get away, did you?
That's gonna be a 20 to hit.
Yes.
20 damage on that first hit.
Excellent.
Nice. I took off both your legs last time, and hopefully I can do it again.
Hacks through one leg. Do I use my last lucky here or just accept it?
Yes. Yeah. Slash that witch.
Okay, that's all my luckies used up. 15 to hit?
No, you missed. Doran. All right, Jack, it's your turn.
Killer, Jack.
I sort of walk through the mud and the slush until I kind of got a line of sight on her between two of these big spiders. And
yeah, their legs are like churning up the blood underneath them, and you can see her sort of through their moving limbs.
And pull out the Spellguard sphere in my hand and sort of spin it a little bit, and it starts to ring and tries to pull some of her awful soul energy into me. If she could make me a wisdom saving throw, 17, please.
Yep. 7.
9 necrotic damage.
Okay, good stuff. The witch vanishes from in front of the spiders and reappears up on the rooftop.
Is that a spell?
Counterspell it.
You can try.
Yes.
I'd love to try. It's a spell of more than third level?
It is not.
So then it's counterspelled.
Whoom.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm really paying attention to all of the changes in the weave. And before she even moves to cast the spell, I've seen it and like stretched that part of magic out and just made it inert before she can even reach for it.
Amazing. Thank you, Jack.
I like to imagine she appeared right beside Red and he's like, huh? And then she gets yanked
back. Yeah, and then she pops
down.
Right back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was
You're thinking. Not going anywhere.
Cool.
Get down.
Well, unfortunately, she's going to have to take the attacks of opportunity, but she's still going to climb up the fucking house because she has a climb speed.
Stay down.
She's going to take attacks of opportunity, I assume, from Doran and three spiders.
Yes.
Yep.
But she's going to climb up the house to get to you, Red.
She can try.
It's going to be a 23 to hit for me.
I rolled a 20 for one of the spiders.
Hey!
Nice.
Crit spider.
Yeah.
Critical spider hit. Fuck yeah.
Crit spider. I love you, crit.
Crit spider.
On a
crit.
Fucking spider bite.
Yeah.
I rolled another 20.
No!
Oh.
She's going to try to climb up this house and just perish
fucking die.
On the way up.
I told her. I was like, you're going to try, lady. Mm-hmm. You're going to try.
Mm-hmm. How much damage total? Just give it to me.
14 points for me.
Excellent.
Between the two spiders, that's 35 damage.
Fuck yeah.
Wow. Nice.
There we go.
They're just going at her. They're just
fucking
swinging and biting and
epic.
Yes.
You want to climb? That's our business.
She tries to turn tail and climb up this building. And with each hand over foot, she takes another bite, spider after spider attacking her, and then the bite of Doran's axe, but she manages to barely pull herself up onto the roof, and Red is standing there. Then she attacks him.
Bring it on, witchy.
Red, 24 to hit you.
That hits.
27 piercing damage, Red.
Oof, ah.
Ouch.
As her hair grapples you and starts sucking the life out of you. Then she tries to hit you with her claws.
Bring it on, witch.
17 to hit.
Hard miss.
Oh. And finally, 21 to hit.
Miss.
No.
Yes.
How?
I want it to.
What's your AC?
I just do whatever
my AC
feel.
Right now is 22. I have multi-attack defense. When I get hit once, my AC jumps plus 4.
That's awesome.
So yeah. And this is the first
What's
time
your
it's
AC
worked.
Normally?
18.
That's great.
Oh,
so
God.
Just because of this, I take the one hit, and then Red like gets extra defensive, and it jumps 4 points to 22.
Hell
and that's the
yeah.
first time this has worked,
yes.
And I'm really happy
Heck
about
yeah.
it.
The witch's claws reach out towards your scalp. As these worms suck on your flesh, Red, and drain your life force, you see her getting stronger, and she reaches out towards you with her claws.
Yeah, but Red wraps his arm around one of the things and pulls her, like, even closer. And it, like, throws her attack off, thinking that she would have the distance. And I, like, pull her right up till she could smell my breath, and I'm like, carnival's over, hag.
It's your turn, Red.
Red pulls out his rapier, which he's called Wit. He pulls it out and he drives it into her belly at point blank range.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty 20 to hit.
Yeah, you hit. Oh, thank God. How much damage do you deal?
14 damage.
The witch's body starts to grow, her flesh bulging and swelling until she fucking pops. Like an overfilled mosquito in a shower of blood and gore. Red, you are splashed all over with just a shower of blood. The town square is still. Villagers standing around in shock and revulsion. Not sure what the hell just happened. Blood dripping from eaves and running in sluices through the cobblestones. And on the wagons of the Midnight Carnival, the final lantern is extinguished.
Once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Cypress Key, Cytosine, DS, Danny, Default Trauma, Dippity, Elizabeth H, Emma, Ghost, Haley, Top of the Marks, Heather Nichols, JD, Joy Robinson, KR, KM, Cade, Kirsten Wolf, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Lita J, Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Marie, Melinda Curley, Mills, Melissa, Merlin, Nimble Dingo, Regan, Wren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, Sky, S-Ray 96, Tara Bite, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, and Zach House. Woo!
Fourteen hit points left, and you hit her with exactly 14.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, really well done.
252.
That was very lucky. And the only time I get to use
that
my
was her. I mean, that wasn't even her total. That was her final form.
Yeah. Wow.
Good lord. Well done. Great job, everyone. Marathon session. I mean, not like we used to do, but in terms of what we've been doing these days.
It's good. Doran like flops.
That
back.
Was. Sorry?
Doran flopped back on the ground, lying in the blood.
It's over. It's done.
Yeah, the blood slowly stops raining and all that crap.
The challenge here is we probably don't want to destroy Bebe's house. Is the real...
It's such a nice house.
I don't think we should. I think it'd Fireballs. Be very funny.
It's definitely real blood on your face, though.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Red did it. Yeah, I want an after credit scene literally that flashes back for no where Red's like, okay, just hold still.
No, you already hit me once. Doran's going to hit me once, and Mari's going to be like, that doesn't look realistic. She's going to hit me once, and Red's just going to do it because. Like, it's...
Aw, I was out hunting. Did I miss it? Bam.
I like to imagine that Mari was, like, putting, like, using, like, some sort of, like Barry just went to like put the bruise on his face.
Dumb druidcraft stuff.
Yeah, and then Red comes in and he's like, oh, are we doing this? And
real.
He just decks Kick. Him.
Yeah. Now it looks real.
No, what? Oh my God.
You punched me like 5 minutes ago. Don't say you don't leave a welt.
Shut up. I'll punch you again.
You weren't supposed to punch him.
He deserved it. You don't understand. There's like 150 episodes before you came into the picture. He deserved it.
You know how it is when there's like a car crash and like everyone's like, what's going on in this? Whoa, blood rain. I've never seen that before.
I guess, but would you be standing around when you're like, when
people
like
are endlessly
a train
annoying
crash like and
these guys
it's
are
happening
people
like
fucking
and you're at the
yeah man
crossing?
Like
I don't
like
think
five
so.
People run away and then six people run out of their homes like, oh my god, I just saw my friend get sliced in half, I'm gonna go see if I can carry his body back inside.
They vivisected
or...
Brian.
Yeah.
People are the worst.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.